Isn't it good to be here to celebrate what God's done for us in his love and the sacrifice of Jesus? Let's just praise God again for what he's done for us. I want to say thank you to especially all the tech crew and the band. I don't know if you've heard this, but first hour, 8:30, we were able to worship and draw near to the cross even without all the media and technology. It wasn't working. And man, that was difficult. But our band, from the musicians to who runs the sound and the computer, they do a great job. Let's thank them for what they do. Good job, guys. Today we are going to celebrate this one love that we just heard in song, that we just celebrated during communion. The one love that God gave his son so we could live. And that's an amazing thing. There are other things that we just get to celebrate before we get into the sermon. It's just sometimes it's just proper. How many of you are excited about the Comet football? Let's hear it for that. Yeah, the Comet football. So here's my challenge. They won another playoff game yesterday, round two. They get to have a home game next week. If you see a player, a parent, a coach, maybe somebody who does stats, a cheerleader, anybody involved in that program, encourage them. Let them know that you're praying for them, we support them. And also remind them that God's in control and just enjoy it. Whatever happens, enjoy life and just make the most of it. But we are very blessed to have a program that represents our community well, and I thank God for that. Another thing I want to celebrate is just life. We have birthdays this week. We had two members of our staff celebrate birthdays this weekend. One was Jesse. Let's see a picture of Jesse. Jesse, I'm glad you're finally 21. You know, you may guess what he is. He hit the big 3-0, so maybe give him some condolences. He does not look 30, but praise God for Jesse. Also, Diane. Diane holds down the fort with just the finances and all the logistics of the church and for the preschool and daycare. Let's thank God for Diane. Happy birthday, guys. Man, I want to celebrate another thing of life. Hannah and Jason had their third child, and his name is Simon. Let's praise God for Simon. Simon was born on Friday and is doing well. Continue to pray for him. I think his oxygen level is a little bit under what they'd like to see it. But Simon is going to be an amazing young man for God. I just see that. A thing that I hadn't prepared to say at all. A lot of these things happened this weekend. This one just happened today. Man, this is big. Taylor Marty, a young man we've been praying for, 5-year-old boy, doing amazing things. He is in children's church this morning, and his parents are here. Let's praise God for what he's doing in his life. A couple years ago, I was probably 10 or 12 now, one of my boys just kind of wandered into my office, and I was kind of just writing things out in for my sermon. I don't know if I was going through an outline or just getting thoughts down. Kind of just slipped in and sat down at the desk and didn't say anything, and a couple minutes, he just watched me, maybe 90 seconds. And then he said this, great question. He says, "Dad, how do you know what to write down for your sermon?" And I said, "Man, that's a great question. I'd like to think that God tells me what to say." And he goes, "Well, Dad, that's funny. Then why do you keep marking out half of what you're writing down?" The reality is preachers can get in the way of what we're wanting to communicate. Our technology this morning got in the way of what we're wanting to communicate. Sometimes programs get in the way. I don't want to get in the way of what God wants me to say to you today. And here it is. God loved you enough to send his one and only son to die so that you might live. And in that, we can have life with him forever. I don't want you to miss this. God's love has the power to change everything if you'll receive it. That one and only love that he gave. And the reason he had to give it, and he chose to give it was the only way for us to be with him. Because you and I are in the same in this. We're all sinners who have to be saved by grace. We're all sinners that the blood of Jesus was required to be shed as an atonement, as a payment for what we've done wrong. And God loved you that much. That's how much God loves you. And today we're going to celebrate that one love, and we're going to challenge one another through his word to live it. Because that's what disciples do. That's what followers of Christ do. John makes it clear in 1 John 4. He says this. This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only son into the world so that we might live through him. This is love. Not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. We love because he first loved us. If you know that love, we're going to see today, time and time again, Jesus and God through his word are challenging us to live that love, to share it. And it really can change everything. I want to celebrate today, after first service, Mark Neely was baptized. And Mark, for the first time in like 30 years, he's realized that that love of Jesus has the chance to change his life and let him live forever. And he was baptized. Today may be the day that you're like, this love that I've heard about, it is that one love that everything hinges on, that God loved me enough to die so that I could live. But how do we love God? How do we love others in a way that would honor Christ? How would we love in a way that it changes everything? Jesus tells us at the end of what we studied last week in Matthew chapter 25, Jesus tells us these three parables, these three stories. And in the final parable, he says, when everything is done, when I return, that everything is going to hinge on this fact, if you love like I love, really. Because if we belong to him, we're going to love like him. We're going to love him. And he says this, and the king will say when he returns, I tell you the truth, when you did it to one of the least of these, brothers and sisters, you were doing it to me. Here's this ironic thing, this strange opportunity we have. We can love Christ and love the Father by loving one another, by loving our other brothers and sisters, especially those that he classifies as the least of these. Here's the interesting thing. We have an opportunity to love Christ literally by loving people we don't even like sometimes, but by loving people that are often overlooked and other people put down. But we're called to serve and love them. Jesus tells us a little bit what they look like sometime. In Matthew 25, he says, these are often the people that are hungry, literally, and sometimes figuratively, spiritually. These are the people that are sick and thirsty and alone or in prison. He says, when we love people like that, we're actually loving him. Those are the people that are put in difficult positions that need help. In modern day language, here's what I was led to describe the least of these. These are people that are often overlooked, underappreciated, and generally in a position where they're unable to help themselves. Those are what Jesus categorizes throughout the entire New Testament as the least of these, and he says that's who we're to be loving. Are you willing to love people that are overlooked, underappreciated, and unable to help themselves with the love of Christ? Because it can change things. Not just with nice words or a few dollars here or there or maybe a simple card or a handshake, but really taking time to invest in people that are hurting, hungry, alone, sick, or in prison, and unable to help themselves. You see, if we're believers of Christ, we've been given this love, and we're called to change other lives through it and point them to Jesus. Jesus doesn't just let us stumble upon this. He says, I give you this command. Look what he says in John chapter 13. Jesus says, and it's not hard to understand, it's clear. He says, a new command I give you. He just says it. Love one another. As I've loved you, so you must love one another. By this, everyone will know that you're my disciples if you love one another. One of the things we've really been trying to use our vocabulary more is we want to be followers of Jesus. We want to be disciples, the word he uses here. These are followers of Jesus who make disciples, who make more disciples. And he says that the true test is if we're following him, if we're a disciple, is if we're loving one another. Because we can be saying all the right things, we can have all the head knowledge, but if we're not loving one another, we're not going to be making more disciples. But it's not always that easy to get a hold of. The original 12 disciples didn't understand it at all. In fact, instead of following Christ to sacrifice and even death, they were generally wanting to follow Christ to a position of high honor. They often argued who was going to sit at Christ's right hand and left hand. And on this day, we're going to pick up in the story of Mark chapter 9. They argued often about who was going to be the greatest. They didn't understand that Jesus says, if you're going to really follow me, if you're going to love like me, instead of being the greatest, you need to be prepared to be the sacrifice. You need to be prepared to be willing to give of yourself. In Mark chapter 9, turn with me there. It's on page 845 if you grab a Bible in the pew or one around you. In Mark chapter 9, we see Jesus saying for the second time in 2 days that he's going to die. You can see it in Mark chapter 9 starting with verse 30. If you flip back to Mark chapter 8, you see in verse 31, he teaches them about his death. In 2 days, he tells his 12 disciples, hey, I'm going to die. I'm going to be handed over to sinful men. They're going to crucify me. But then 3 days later, I'm going to be raised to new life. But look what it says in verse 32 of chapter 9. But they did not understand the saying and were afraid to ask him. They heard him say it twice. They heard the words. They didn't understand it, and they were afraid to ask about it, so they just switched topics. You know what happens to you also. You see something you're really not sure if you want to know more about, so you just kind of ignore it and start talking about something else. For Tiffany and I, sometimes it's like the boys will come in, and maybe they are just all muddy, or there's paint all over them, or maybe they smell really bad, and you're like, I'm not even going to ask. You know, let's just talk about something else. Or maybe you walk into a meeting, and everybody's silent, and you can tell it's tense. You know something's just been said, but unless they say it, you're not going to ask. You don't want to bring it up. That's the way the disciples were treating Jesus. They had said this, he said this to them, and yet they didn't understand it, but they weren't going to bring it up. They didn't even want to know really what was going on. So look what they did instead of asking questions. Look at verse 33. It says, and they came to Capernaum, and when he was in the house, he asked them. So they'd been traveling, but they got to the house. He goes, what were you guys discussing on the way? Jesus was not afraid to ask questions. In fact, though, he already knew. He knew even before he heard them talking. He says, what were you discussing? But they kept silent. For on the way, they had argued with one another about who was the greatest. So here's what he did. He sat down and called the 12. And he said to them, if anyone would be first, he must be last of all and servant of all. And he took a child and put him in the midst of them. So right in the middle. And he took the child, him into his arms and said, whoever receives one such child in my name receives me. And whoever receives me receives not me, but him who sent me. So in this moment, the guys were arguing about who was going to be the greatest among them. He says, if you really want to be great, take one of these children and really receive them. Take them into your arms and love on them, support them. What an amazing statement. Jesus is saying, if you really want to be great in the kingdom of heaven, become a servant of this child who's often overlooked, underappreciated, and can't help themselves. When's the last time you did that to a child? Just took them in your arms and offered whatever they needed to grow. Not your own child, but someone who truly has a need who no one else is helping. See, often when throughout history, especially in Jesus' day, a child is seen as powerless and not providing any opportunity. They just were kind of perceived as an obligation, something that had to be taken care of. And Jesus says, this is exactly what the kingdom of God is about, helping those who others are overlooking. There are children in our midst that are being overlooked. Maybe not in your family, but they're around. And are we as church, are we as Christians taking a child in to just love on them, to teach them, to encourage them, maybe to mentor them on a regular basis, maybe just to play with them, maybe to bring them into church to hear about God's word, but more than anything, just to let them know they're loved. Even with one such child? There's enough people within this body of Christ, this church family, that if we would all begin to impact one such child that has been neglected or overlooked and can't help themselves, Bond County would change, the state of Illinois would begin to change, and the kingdom of God would grow. Jesus says, if you want to be great in the kingdom of heaven, receive one such child and bless them. And in doing so, you will be receiving Christ and his Father. This time of year gives us some opportunities to love on one such child, a child that's often overlooked and can't help themselves. There are some ways that we can do it just on the fringe, just as an entry point. One of those that is very effective is Operation Christmas Child. How many of you have ever heard of Operation Christmas Child, where we pack the boxes? Great, most of you have. As you came in today, whether it's this door or back through the Family Life Center, there are boxes available. And in those boxes are instructions to pack things of hygiene, maybe a toy or gift, maybe some other thing that would just bring joy to a child and their family. And the idea is to bless a child that have maybe never received a gift, to give them something to give them hope. And And also, Operation Christmas Child Program is now sharing the gospel with these children so they can know the real hope. Over the next couple weeks, you can pick it up today. We encourage you to not only pack one of those boxes, but to pray for that child, that they would know God's love. Watch this real short video if you haven't seen Operation Christmas Child to know more.
They're overjoyed, and we can see it on their face. You can see it on their eyes.
Some of them are receiving the gifts for the very first time.
They feel so happy because they see things they have never seen.
Through this shoebox, we want to tell a child that God loves you and He has created you.
Jesus loves you.
We've been able to touch the lives of children all over the world to give them a gift and do it in Jesus' name.
Through a very small thing, God is touching the world.
For the rest of their lives, they remember that box.
So many children in the world have no hope, and a simple box gives them that hope.
From the shoebox to the greatest journey, this is the Great Commission.
So during the week of November 12th through 18th, we're going to be receiving these boxes, not only from us, but from the region. And then we will take them to another place, and then they'll be dispersed around the world. And I ask you, if you take one box or two or three, don't just fill it full of stuff, as the instructions say, but in the name of Jesus, begin to pray for that child, that they would know His love, this one love that can change everything. There have been multiple testimonies that these boxes, as insignificant as they may be, give entire families hope. There's more opportunity through God out there, and to know His love, and that they would receive Jesus as their Savior. What a great opportunity to love a child, just one child. Another thing that's available to us this time of year is the Toys for Joy program. And across from our offices, right back in this area, there's a Christmas tree. It's a little early, but I love it, okay? There's this Christmas tree up, and there's angels on this tree. And by claiming an angel, it represents, there's some information back there, but you're claiming a child to buy a Christmas gift for. And as you claim that angel, I ask you to fill out the instructions that are available, but then also begin to pray for that child, because they're not around the world. They're right here in Bond County. There's probably hundreds of children in our midst that unless people like you, unless the body of Christ step up, they will not know the joy of Christmas. And these toys really can bring joy to them, and pray that God would bring change to their families. Be praying about these opportunities. These children who are extremely overlooked. But so far, we've just talked about children that may just need a gift, a reminder of hope. But there's children in our midst that are much more extremely overlooked or underappreciated and need help. They're often known as orphans or children currently in between families, and they need to be loved. And we want to look at God's Word right now to see how we can love on them and model His love for them. Look with me to Ephesians chapter 1. Paul says this, and this is what Paul reminds us that God did for us when we were orphans. He says, Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, even as He chose us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before Him. In love, in this one love that changed everything, see what He did. He predestined us for adoption to Himself as sons and daughters through Jesus Christ, according to His purpose of His will. Now, sometimes we can become intimidated. Well, I was never adopted. I was never an orphan. God didn't predestine me to do anything. I have total free will. And I want you to know here what that phrase is really saying, as much as anything, ahead of time. Before you were born, much before you ever sinned, God says, I need to have a way. I'm going to provide a way that all of these people that I love dearly have a way back to my family. So before we were born, he made a choice to provide a way for us to be saved through Christ and to be adopted back into His family. It says, to the praise of His glorious grace with which He has blessed us as the beloved. That's in Jesus. In Him we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of trespasses, according to the riches of His Christ, which He lavished on us in all wisdom and insight. See, in God's love, he did something radical. He did something extreme. He said, in their sin, I'm going to provide a way for them to be brought back into my family through Christ's sacrifice. And that's radical. In much the same way, I want you to know, as amazing as the shoeboxes are or the angel on the tree, God is calling the church to do things radical for people that are lost. God is calling us as Christians to do things extreme to bring them back to his family. And we see it in the text. It's not just about resources or money. It's about making the decision to bring someone back, to adopt them, to bring them into the family as sons and daughters, as brothers and sisters. This is radical. We're called to help the hurting. We're called to make a difference in people's lives who are alone. James puts it this way in the book of James. He says, pure religion is to take care of widows and orphans. I will paraphrase that in my own language. It makes sense in 2018. A real relationship with Jesus Christ, a real honoring of the Father, is all about bringing people into relationship who are outside the family. It's making sure people that are lonely and overlooked and often can't help themselves, it's by bringing them a part of this family so they can be a part of God's family. Yes, it's radical, but it's worth it. It's extreme, but it's about eternity. I wonder if God's called any of you to do radical things for people who are alone, who didn't fit in with the family, maybe who are fatherless or motherless, or maybe they've been widowed or they're a widower. I wonder how many of you have really done that, and I want to celebrate that today. So in just a minute, I would like you to stand if you've ever been involved in foster care. If you have had an adoption that's public, I know some of it may be private, so it'd be difficult to stand. Or if you've helped someone who has lost a loved one and they can no longer help themselves, like a widow or a widower. If you have really placed yourself in a position to be sacrificially involved in their relationships in any way of those ways, would you please stand? I just want to celebrate that. Would you stand if you've been a part of foster care and adoption? Praise God for that. You may be seated. God wants us to celebrate that. It's not something we're proud of where we're tooting our own horn, but when we see an image of that, we see an image of what God has done to us, that we were outside of the family, and he says, through my love and my sacrifice for you, I'm bringing you in as sons and daughters. That's a radical thing that we need to celebrate. This morning, we were able to celebrate something amazing as well. Vicki and Dennis Borer were able to adopt their fifth child in recent days, and her name is Lily. Here's a picture of them. It just happened at the courthouse about 10 days ago. Lily is the little one there holding the balloons, and here are the other children's names in order. Peyton, Colin, Riley, Tyler, and Lily. All five of those children were kind of, in a sense, alone without a family. And Vicki and Dennis, during a time in their life when they could have been thinking about retirement, going to Florida or Arizona or a foreign country and just taking it easy, and they could have done that, they said, we're starting a family over. And they've adopted those five children. And Vicki recently told me, she said, Tyson, people come to me often and say, aren't the kids lucky? Vicki, don't you believe the kids are so lucky to be involved in your family and to have a home to live now where mom and dad love them? And Vicki is kind of a fireball. She says, nope, you're wrong. You know who's lucky? I'm lucky, Vicki says. And if you listen to her story, when they began to really immerse in the lives of these kids is whenever God called her back to be a daughter herself of the King. And her and Dennis, even though this may be the most difficult logistically time of their life raising kids, they are as blessed now as ever. And I believe this picture is a picture of what God is calling, not just to love kids for a moment, but to really bring them into the family. Let's praise God for what Dennis and Vicki are doing. Dennis and Vicki also, during the 8:30 service, had the kids dedicated. The elders and the ministry staff, many of us prayed over them, and they just are asking you to pray with them that their children be blessed, because they're beautiful and God loves them. And I want you to know they are not underappreciated, overlooked, and they're learning how to even grow and help themselves and others more. And I'm so proud of that family. So how can we come alongside and help others grow and create family atmospheres and become new forever families? What do we need to do? I think we can look at Scripture one more time. In 1 Peter chapter 1, Peter reminds us of what God did to bring us a part of his family. And we need to do the same thing. And so often the church in the last 100 years, we've just thrown, not just this church, churches around the world, we've thrown money at orphan problems. We've tried to do programs to feed kids without families. But here's what Peter says God's done for us, and we need to do the same for children. He says, "For you know that God paid a ransom to save you from the empty life you inherited from your ancestors." So God paid a ransom, there's no doubt, but look what he paid. It was not paid with mere gold or silver, which lose their value. It was the precious blood of Christ, the sinless, spotless Lamb of God. God chose him as your ransom long before the world began. But now in these last days, he has been revealed for your sake. Through Christ, you have come to trust in God, and you have placed your faith and hope in God because he raised Christ from the dead and gave him great glory. See, what Peter here is saying, he wants us to remind us, we need to follow in the footsteps of God. God just didn't throw money at something. He didn't just pay for a program to bring us out of a problem. He gave his only son. He sacrificed the most valuable thing he had. He allowed Christ to increase our trust in him. Man, in today's world, guys, we can be the hands and feet of Jesus as we take a generation who are often lost, who are currently living without a mom or dad, and we can love them in such a way where we increase their trust in God by being the hands and feet of Jesus. It's amazing. It's radical. It's about restoring hope. A few years back, this church really began to catch a vision for this idea that we see here in 1 Peter. And the church itself, the people, long before I was here, they came up with a ministry called Foster Hope. And it was the idea that we would do just this, that we would love on children and bring them in a position in relationships so they would trust God more and be loved on now. Foster Hope turned into something even greater, the Restore Network. Here's just the image of the Restore Network. You may have seen this image around. And for a few years now, God has been blessing many families and foster children through the Restore Network program and ministry. And for years, Dora Mann has been our local Bond County director. Dora has a great opportunity ahead of her, and she realizes at that time that Dora to be the director had come to an end. And so God led to this ministry, Shannon Graham. And in just a minute, you're going to hear from her testimony. But I want you to know, as I have met Shannon now and heard about what they're doing in the Restore Network, they continue the legacy that's been laid. We see now more than ever that it's about us sacrificially investing in children. And it's for the purpose of restoring not only the local family, but the kingdom of God. And that's what the church is to be doing. So as Shannon comes now, let's just celebrate what she's doing.
All right, like Pastor Tyson said, my name is Shannon Graham, and I'm following in the footsteps of Dora as a new Bond County Director of the Restore Network. I wanted to share a little of my story and then get to the needs here that we have in Bond County. My husband and I have 7 kids. We fostered and adopted 5, and then God healed my womb, and we were able to have 2 biological children. There's more to my story, though, like there is for most of us. When I was 26 years old, my first husband died in a motorcycle accident, and I was at a spot in life that I did not want to be in. Soon after that, I went on a mission trip to South Africa, and on that trip, loving on those babies that didn't have anyone, like I felt like I didn't have anyone, brought me to tears. God restored my soul on that trip. The 23rd Psalm that I've known all my life from when I was young became real to me, that he restored my soul. I believe only Jesus could have restored my soul, but he used so many people to do it. He used the pastor who took us on the trip. He used the missionaries that hosted us and had the orphanages. He used the cooks that cooked for us all week while we were there, and the many people that sponsored me to go on that trip financially. And he used those babies to let me love on them and love me back and share their brokenness with me. We at the Restore Network believe Jesus wants to work through the local church, which is us, to help bring restoration to these kiddos and to these families. We believe God is wanting to restore their souls. From the bio family that is going through temporarily losing their children, to the children in care that are at a spot of confusion and loss, This was not their plan for their life either, just like losing my husband wasn't my plan. But I could have never imagined how God would heal my heart. And I know God wants to meet these families and he wants to heal some hearts. So, this brings us to the needs. So, we need foster homes. Foster care isn't easy, it's messy. It is truly bearing the burden of brokenness with the child, and sometimes with the bio parents. But that's what Jesus did for us, like Pastor Tyson was saying. He came to this messy world and broken world for us. God sees hard places and broken things, and he moves towards them. If this is something that God has put on your heart, here at Restore, we want to walk this journey with you, and we know Jesus wants to walk this journey with you. We also know that not everyone is called to foster, and we respect that. That is the beauty of the body of Christ. We all have different gifts and talents that we can use to take care of the kids in our county, in Bond County. If everyone became foster parents, we would have no one to watch our kids' support group, to cook the meals, to support the foster parents. So it wouldn't work either. So together, we're capable of so many things. Our foster parents need support so that they can love these kids where they are. We have lots of ways that you can help our kids in Bond County, so I'll be out in the back afterwards if you guys want to talk about any of the ways you can help love on our kiddos. Thank you.
Thank you. This is something, don't want to make it too complicated. The reality is there are more foster kids in need of a home than we have placements for. And this is a shock to me. I thought I was coming to Bond County, the bedrock of, the Bible Belt, where we will be meeting the needs of especially those around us. Guys, we have kids that are leaving our county to be placed in other counties because there's not enough people stepping up to be foster parents. That's strange to me. It's strange in a church of, say, 800 to 1,200 people, that we aren't doing more to meet the needs of the kids right around us that are overlooked. And they are. They're leaving our county underappreciated and can't help themselves. Man, I'm so thankful for what Dora and Shannon and their team, people like Nick Cease, they're working at it all the time. They need help. And no, we don't all have to foster. I think currently, to be honest, and God may strike me and say, Tyson, you're going to foster again. Right now, it's not our time to foster. But it may be yours. But it's all of our time to make a difference somehow. Maybe, like she said, providing a meal. In your program or bulletin, there's an insert. And there are different teams. The meal team, planning the parties teams. Maybe it's a babysitting team to give the parents some time away so they can regroup. But what it all boils down to is, where does this love come from? It comes from our desire to be compelled by Christ's love to love others. In 2 Corinthians, we're going to end with this. In chapter 5, it says this: for Christ's love compels us. This one love that changes everything is from Christ. And it leads us, it compels us, it commands us to love others, even those we don't like, those that we don't understand, and yes, children that we think someone else should take care of. That love compels us to meet the needs because we are convinced that one died for all. It died for every single one of us, and therefore all died. And we died for all that those, and he died for all that those who live should no longer live for themselves. There's the big twist. That if we really believe that Christ died for each of us, none of us should live for ourselves, but we should live to serve him and serve others. For him who died for them was raised again. This one love changes everything. Have you accepted that? Have you accepted the love of Christ to change everything? And if you have, how are you sharing it? Let's pray. Father, lead us, convict us, compel us to do your work and your mission. Lord, I pray a special blessing upon the Restore Network. I pray that they have more meals than they would have imagined in the next few months for families. I pray that foster parents that are led by your will would step forward and say, I want to foster. I want to even foster to adopt. Lord, but your purpose is to restore relationships. First, here on earth, and then in heaven forever. Lord, let your kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. In Jesus' name, amen. today, if you've realized that you've never accepted that love that changed everything, today's the day. Come forward. Be made new in Christ. Maybe you need to talk to Shannon or Dora or Jesse, who will be up here, or Dee, who will be up here, and you say, I need to take a step to help someone who is hurting. Don't wait, because if you leave here, the world will distract you, and you may never make that choice. Stand with us as we worship.